Beat. Iti. Thus. Evam. In this way. Niguda. Hidden. Nirvedaha. Completely unattached to material activities. Vishrija. Giving up. Mrigim. The deer. Maturam. Its mother. Punaha. Again. Bhagavat Kshetram. The place where the Supreme Lord is worshipped. Upashamashila. Completely detached from all material attachments. Muniganadoitam, which is dear to the great saintly residence. Shalagramam, the village known as Shalagrama. Pulascha Pulaha Ashramam, to the ashrama conducted by such great sages as Pulascha and Pulaha. Kalanjarat, from the Kalanjara mountain, where he had taken his birth, in the womb of a deer. Prachajagama, he came back. So translation, although Bharata Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things. He did not disclose these things to anyone, but he left his mother deer in a place known as the Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born. He again went to the forest of Shalagrama and to the ashrama of Pulascha and Pulaha. So you can repeat. Although Bharata Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things. He did not disclose these things to anyone. But he left his mother dear in a place known as Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born. He again went to the forest of Shalagram and to the ashrama of Pulascha and Pulaha. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Chilvapad Ki Jai. It is significant that Maharaj Bharata, by the grace of Vasudeva, remembered his past life. He did not waste a moment. He returned to Pulaha ashrama, to the village known as Shalagrama. Association is very meaningful. Therefore, ISKCON tries to perfect one who enters the society. The members of the society should always remember that the society is not like a free hotel. All the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties so that whoever comes will automatically become a devotee and will be able to return back to Godhead in this very life. Although Bharata Maharaj acquired the body of a deer, he again left his hearth and home in this place, the mountain Kalanjara. No one should be captivated by his birthplace and family. One should take shelter of the association of devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness. So, Om Ganati Madandasha, Gadanjana Shalakaya Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. There's one thing that's little interesting before I speak about the main topics. In the purport, it says he did not disclose these things to anyone, so I was just picturing a deer disclosing. You know, obviously animals do communicate. Like the bees, they have their different dances with which they communicate. And the deer, he must have just like left without letting the other deer know, because deer generally go in herds. They're not solitary animals. So that means he actually left by himself, and he didn't have anything to do with the other deer, which is very interesting. Okay. So there's two topics here that are quite interesting. One is the topic of repentance. Actually, there's three topics. One Prabhupada brings up in the purport. One is the topic of repentance. Another is the topic Prabhupada gives in the purport, which is that one should not take material advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement. And the third topic here is the renunciation, how one becomes renounced from this world by becoming detached from society, friendship, love, and specifically when one wants to take sannyas, what are the requirements? And of course, Bharat Maharaj was more or less a sannyasi deer at that point. And deer are generally saffron colors, so brown, brown, similar to saffron. Anyway, so let's talk about repentance first. So the repentance is a very interesting subject matter. It doesn't exactly mean guilt. Guilt is one thing, which I learned about when I was young, that you do things because you don't really want to, but someone has made you feel so guilty about doing them, a guilt trip. But repentance means that basically you've made an error, made a mistake. So there's several points in this. First of all, you should be humble enough to recognize that you make mistakes. It's hard for some of us. I was speaking to one guru in ISKCON, and he said, I've only made one mistake my whole life. I thought I made a mistake. In other words, the only mistake he ever made, according to him, he was joking, of course, I hope. So, according to him, the only mistake he ever made was the mistake of thinking he made a mistake. So, the problem is one gets exposed to the highest philosophy, the Krishna consciousness philosophy, then one starts to think himself or herself to be very advanced in devotional service. This is one of the causes of anarthas. And we've spoken about this many times before, that anarthas can come from sinful activity, pious activity, offenses, and also from bhakti. So Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagam Yanacha Yad Ahoitakam. When one takes up bhakti, one naturally gets knowledge and renunciation. And guess what? When you get knowledge, you get proud of the knowledge, right? And then when you get proud of the knowledge, you think you know everything about the philosophy. No one can question you or anything like that. And if they question you, you get angry at them. They're great offenders, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, as a result, you can't admit that you make a mistake. It actually takes a big man, or I don't want to say big woman, but anyway, that would be inappropriate. But it takes a big man to admit that he's made a mistake. A small person doesn't admit they make a mistake, and a big person, they admit they make a mistake, and it takes an even bigger man to correct the mistake. Is that saying? You can read, that's a common material saying. So, first of all, we have to be introspective enough in Krishna consciousness to understand when we've made a mistake, which basically means when we were in Maya. Other mistakes are easy to admit. I made the wrong turn when I was driving my car the other day, So that's a mistake. That's easy for me to admit. But to admit that I did something not Krishna conscious, that's really hard, because you're sannyasi, guru, great personality, king, you like Maharaj Bhart, isn't it? It's really hard to admit. And nowadays, of course, you get sued if you make a mistake. Well, especially if you're a psychiatrist, isn't it? So therefore, you better not admit your mistake without talking to your lawyer first. So the first thing is to admit, I'm not perfect. Actually, before even you admit that you made a mistake, you have to come to the conclusion that you're not a pure devotee. It's like, we like to look down upon other people and say, they're just Kanishtha Adhikaris. But actually, Prabhupada said it's very exalted to be a Kanishtha Adhikari. I wish I was a Kanishtha Adhikari, at least came up to that platform. It's very exalted. I mean, as pure devotees, we talked about this the other day, who are Kanishtha Adhikaris. It's true. Pure devotees. And anyway, I'm not even an Adhikari, what to speak of it. I mean, I'm a sannyasi, but anyway. I'm not even a devotee, what to speak of a Kanishtha. So we have to be humble. And admit, you know, I'm just struggling to try to be a devotee, to associate with devotees, to try to stop committing offenses to devotees. I'm just struggling to chant my rounds every day. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his prayers, you know, he says, I'm a materialistic rascal. And it's not that he's just putting on a show for us, but actually internally he believes it. Of course, he's not. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. But internally, a pure devotee, like Prabhupada gave the example, he said, I'm not falling down because all the time I'm praying to Krishna to not fall down. You understand? Although Prabhupada's a pure devotee, there's no question of falling down, you know, obviously. But Prabhupada said that's how, so he was doing that. So first of all, there has to be some humility, admit that, you know, I'm just a materialistic rascal, full of lust, can't control my senses, you know. Every time I see a computer, I just like go crazy. Feel shivering in my body, you know. You know, anyway, everybody has a different sense object. You know, some people it's food, other people it's electronic gadgets. You know, just, I was lamenting I didn't go to the CES 2013. You know what the CES is? Computer Electronic Show 2000, where they show off the latest gadgets. For some people, it might be going to New Orleans. For me, it would be going to wherever the computer show was. So anyway, we should just admit, you know, it's just hard to admit and to ourselves, and it's hard to admit to others, right? That, you know, I'm an older devotee. You know, we like to brag about so many things. I'm a Prabhupada disciple. The sannyasi. The guru. The GBC. You know, you can put all these letters after our name, you know, Bhakti, Shastri, Bhakti Vai Bhava, Guru, GBC, Chairman of the GBC, North American GBC, you know, all these different credentials. And so, you know, we should admit, you're just like an ordinary conditioned soul. That's how we should be thinking. Even if we're not, we should be thinking like, I'm just an ordinary conditioned soul subject to the pushings and pullings of Maya. Okay, that's the first thing. And then, when you do something that's Maya, you recognize it. You say, oh, I watched the Super Bowl the other night. I didn't, of course. I mean, that's one type of Maya that never attracted me. I mean, just to be honest. Yuck. I mean, the only way I'd watch the Super Bowl is if Krishna guaranteed I'd go back to Godhead by doing it. That's the only reason I would do that stupid thing. So anyway, so then you recognize I did something wrong. Something wrong means that you did something not that brought, that took you away from Krishna instead of taking you to Krishna, or you did something to hurt someone. I mean, there's different things under wrong. I mean, it's hard to use, it's difficult to use the word wrong because it's just a general category. I would say, you know, I did something that hurt someone, or I did something that put me in Maya the other day. And then, okay, so that's recognition. And then repentance, you know, as the Christians say, repent, repent. They have this interesting idea of what repentance means. It just means, like, to them it just means crying, right? I'm repenting. And, you know, that's not the whole of repentance. The whole of repentance is you make a plan not to do it again. You realize, I made a big mistake. Now, you take your determination not to do it. Of course, it may happen again and again, you know, a few more times. But then, depending on the severity of it, but then you just like make adjustments in your life so you don't do it again, like Bart Marge is doing here. I mean, let's take another example, not just Bart Marge. Let's take our friends Jagai and Madai. So anyway, so they were getting drunk, and they Madai actually hit Lord Nityananda, right? He hit Lord Nityananda, and he and Jagai, of course, were so repentant that even after they got all the mercy, you know, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freed them from their sins, Lord Chaitanya turned dark, and devotees were asking Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya was asking the devotees, what do I look like? And the devotees said, you look like Krishna, because it became dark. And then they chanted Hare Krishna, they got his original golden color back. And so even after that, and the Jagar Mahadi were dancing, they felt so repentant. And actually, there was a little guilt there, too, but it wasn't like material guilt over what they had done. They said, with this hand, I have hurt the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nityananda. And Mahadi was feeling like that. So they approached the Lord again. And they said, you know, we got to do something to not only prevent ourselves from doing the same thing, but we have to do something to rectify ourselves. And so they were given the service of making a bathing ghat along the Ganges. And so with their own hands, they, even though they were born in Brahmin families, and remember, in India, Brahmin family doesn't do any menial service. I mean, you can, even though they had gotten drunk, they were Brahmins by caste, which is interesting. Because you find that in America, you know, some people declare themselves to be Brahmin, even though they have, you go into their liquor, into their house, and there's all these liquor cabinets there, bottles of Seagram's. Of course, as I mentioned the other day, Seagram's helped us spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So don't support it. Don't support the liquor company. So, so they felt so repentant. So with their own hands, they actually dug up this ghat, you know, made this, that means the steps and everything like that. And then whoever came there, they would serve them, Jagai and Madai. So that's a good example of repentance, isn't it? So as far as ourselves are concerned, you know, we should do something. Every time we make a mistake, which is quite often, I need a computer to calculate all my mistakes. So I have a database, you know, Microsoft Access database, you know, every mistake, dated, everything like that. So otherwise, I mean, I'd forget. So every time we make a mistake, we should make adjustments, first of all, not to do it again, and second of all, to rectify ourselves, to do something. Like if you, I mean, I'll give you an example. Let's say you watched the Super Bowl. Maybe it's not a mistake for you, but it would be a mistake for me. So let's say you watch the Super Bowl, it made your consciousness real low, and you feel real bad about it. That, you know, it really, I mean, I feel like I'm in the dirt now because I watched the Super Bowl. So anyway, hope I'm not offending anyone on TV. We have about 12 people watching. So people have shut us off. So then you make some determination. I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl anymore. So how do you do that? You know, because it's Super Bowl is so attractive to some people. You know, so how do you do that? Then you make an arrangement so next time the Super Bowl is on, you have some appointment to go somewhere else. You know, you have to be practical because you know you have that weakness, right? You know, Super Bowl weakness. So you make some arrangement. Or you invite someone over your house, you invite some sannyasi over your house at the same time who won't let you watch the Super Bowl. And that's someone you watch the Super Bowl with, sannyasi Maharaj. Can we watch the Super Bowl together? You can chant your japa. No, you actually, so you do something, you make some adjustment. And then you do some actual act of repentance, like Jagai and Madai do, like Jagai and Madai did. What does that mean? That means you understand your consciousness is impure. So you maybe add a few rounds, or you make a vow to read a little bit more every day, or you make a vow to serve a Vaishnava. You know, so that's the repentance. You understand? Not only that you don't do it, but you do something to purify your consciousness. So that you don't have the inclination to do it in the future. So there's the strategy for being careful to put yourself in a situation where that thing won't happen again. Like, and this is what Bart Maharaj did. He took himself, because to free himself from attachments, he left the place where his material attachments would be, which is hearth and home. For someone who's interested in renouncing. That's number one. And then he went to an ashram, Pulascha, Pulaha ashram, where he can hear about Krishna and get further purified. So two things have to be done. Make a mistake, then make some practical external adjustments so you don't do it again. And do something so you get more purified, so you don't have the, ultimately, in the long term, don't have the inclination to do it again. Do you understand? Both things. Two things. That's repentance. So I've described what repentance is. So then, now we're talking about, second subject matter is how a sannyasi renounces everything and never goes back home. And I'm going to tell the story from Chaitanya Charitamrita that illustrates this point. Once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from Keshava Bharti. And so when he took sannyas from Keshava Bharti, he immediately didn't want to go home to tell his family, but he immediately wanted to go to Vrindavan. I mean, he had no idea to go home or even visit his relatives or friends or anybody in the Navadvip, even Shantipur area. So he headed towards Vrindavan. And he was in so much ecstasy, basically, he didn't bring his GPS with him. So he was in so much ecstasy that he didn't know which way he was going. So he was relying on Lord Nityananda to tell him the path. Lord Nityananda had a different idea. You know, Lord Nityananda was not always cooperating completely with what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. So Lord Nityananda wanted to take him to Advaitacharya's house. So Lord Nityananda did many things, many tricks in order to do that. One trick was that Lord Chaitanya came across some coward boys who were chanting Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to see that. And, you know, he thought he was in Vrindavan already. So he wanted to ask the coward boys which way to Vrindavan. But Lord Nityananda previously had talked to these coward boys and told them, don't tell them the truth. You know, show them the other way. Back to Santipur. Lord Nityananda has his own plan. And so the coward boys, you know, basically pointed the way back to Santipur. So then Lord Chaitanya kept walking and walking, and then he saw a river. And he said to Lord Nityananda, is this the Jamuna? And Lord Nityananda said, yes, it's the Jamuna! And actually, it wasn't a lie. Because the Jamuna and the Ganges and the Saraswati flow together. There's the Triveni where they all join, and that's where the Kumbh Mela is held. Triveni means three rivers. And this year, like beginning, like the... Actually, it's a long period of time, but the main period is like the 10th, a little bit later, of February. And it's the world's largest gathering of human beings. Bigger than Woodstock. Hundreds of millions of people. It's like half the population of the United States gathering in one city and bathing, all trying to bathe at the same time. And not only that, but then you got such a combination, heterogeneous combination of human beings like Nagababas. Nagababas, you know, gurus, people think they're God. People think they're servants of God. People worship Ganesh. People who worship any one of the 33 million demigods, probably. I mean, it's amazing. It's a real, like, rainbow festival. So, and a lot of people are naked, you know, the Nagababas. So, after the Triveni, the point is that all the three rivers, they flow together. So, it wasn't a lie that Lord Nityananda was telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a tricky tricky statement. Lord Nityananda is known for his trickiness. So then Lord Chaitanya jumped in, I mean, with his clothes and everything like that, and he was just like so ecstatic, swimming in what he thought was the Jamuna. It was actually the Jamuna, but it was the Ganges. And then swimming in the river, and then he sees a Dvaitacharya in a boat with a new set of clothes for Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya's clothes were all wet. Since he first took sannyas, he didn't have any other garments to wear. They were just, you know, they were just wet. I mean, sometimes in India, because it's so warm, it's not really that big a problem. I mean, 1 year, what was it? Yeah, last time I was in Govardhan, I went swimming in Radhakund with all my clothes on. I just went in. And then by the time I walked back to Kushma Sarovara area, they were all dry. And I didn't get sick. You know, just life. That's India, you know. So you don't worry. I mean, here in the middle of the winter, you don't jump into rivers in North Carolina and just walk around in wet clothes. You get sick. So Lord Chaitanya saw Dvaitacharya, and he said to Dvaitacharya, "What are you doing in Vrindavan? How did you know I was here?" And then Dvaitacharya revealed, and then, of course, Dvaitacharya also said, "Wherever you are, that's Vrindavan." Because it's a fact, wherever Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, Rajendra Nandana, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So wherever you are is Vrindavan. So it's actually a fact. So then Dvaitacharya invited him to his house, and Lord Chaitanya said, this Lord Nityananda, he tricked me again. And Lord Nityananda admitted that was the Jamuna anyway, part of the Ganges. So then as a sannyasi, he didn't want to eat very much. He saw all these plates laid out there, and he thought, well, these are the pots meant to distribute food to everybody. But then Dvaitacharya said, no, this is your plate. Can you imagine that? Then you see all these big piles of rice, you know, this high or whatever. And he thinks, oh, that's nice, you can distribute to everybody. And Lord Chaitanya says, just give me a little boiled sabji or something like that. And Dvaitacharya said, and you just sit down and be quiet and eat. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is too much. And Lord Nityananda said, you know, I've been fasting for so many days and this is not even a morsel. You know, I was hoping to break my fast today, but I can see, you know, I'm not able to break my fast. And Dvaitacharya said, you know, you're supposed to be a sannyasi, you know, just like, keep quiet and eat whatever I can give you. And then Lord Nityananda complained again, you know. And then Dvaitacharya said, you're a reject Paramahamsa. That means, you've taken it, you know, you're just acting like a Paramahamsa, but actually you're rejected from the Paramahamsa. And this way they joked back and forth. Eventually, Lord Nityananda threw some rice on the floor, and part of it hit and stuck to the body of the Dvaitacharya. And the Dvaitacharya started dancing. He said, now, and he was in ecstasy. He said, now I've lost my caste and everything's spoiled because I've been touched by the foodstuffs from this person of unknown caste and origin and everything like that. So in this way they had back and forth. And Lord Chaitanya, he forced Lord Chaitanya to eat a lot. So getting back to the point, is then they invited Mother Sachi to come. And Mother Sachi cooked for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day. She was the main cook for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day that he was at Dvaitacharya's house. And the other devotees, they were begging, let me invite Lord Chaitanya. But then Mother Sachi made the plea that you all can get a chance to see Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai, she called him. Nimai, of course, she was so attached, this is a spiritual relationship, of course, to Lord Chaitanya. Even though he was grown, she put him on her lap and, you know, kissed him all over his body. It's interesting, isn't it? The mother's love for her child, even though the child is an adult. At that point, she was just like all over his body. She was kissing him. And, you know, I mean, my mother likes to do that, but I don't like it. So she begged for the benediction while they were there. She could cook every day for him. And she said, other people get a chance other times. Mm. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sort of apologized for taking sannyas, and he said, you know, actually this body belongs to you. Lord Chaitanya made the point. He said, look, I can't go back home. And, you know, if I'm surrounded by all these relatives and everything, and relatives and friends, you know, people will criticize me. And so, of course, the sannyasi is not supposed to go back to the village that they were born in. I mean, there's a great attachment for that. I mean, you can't understand what the attachment is. Even, I mean, just admitting myself, one of my errors, that they have this Google Earth. So I just like plug in the place where I live my childhood life and just to see it again and zoomed in on it to see if the house looked like it looked like when I was young. Did anyone ever do that? You know, that attachment for some stupid house, isn't it? I mean, it's like, wow, it's so deep. And every single song you learn when you were a kid, it was all nonsense. That's why it shouldn't expose the kids to this, you know, the stuff on the TV, because it just keeps playing in my mind over and over again. The Mickey Mouse fan club. You know, it's just abominable. So that's why sannyasi stays away from his home. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. And then they asked, you know, Lord Chaitanya asked, you know, please decide, you know, where I should stay so I won't be criticized. And then Satchimata said, it was coming from the mouth of Satchimata that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should stay in Jagannath Puri. Because Jagannath Puri and Navadvip were just like sister cities. You know, people going back and forth between both cities continually, both locations continually. So that way she would be able to hear some words and even get some remnants or whatever from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on a regular basis. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was able to satisfy both needs, the need to serve his mother and to have his mother have news of him on a regular basis, and also the need to fulfill the duties of a sannyasi, which is not to go back home where you're very, very attached. I mean, these things are so much inbred in our consciousness. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is God. I mean, his home is completely spiritual. I'm not criticizing him for being attached. But, you know, but the rest of us, I mean, it just draws us like a magnet draws iron filings, you know, back to our own country, our home. I mean, I remember the first time I went to India and I came back to America. It was like, home, sweet home. Now I'm actually a little bit more advanced in devotional service. Now I go right out to my home. But anyway, it's just so much deep in our consciousness. So therefore, a sannyasi has to stay away, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited this particular pastime of showing how a sannyasi should act. Okay, that's the second subject matter. Third subject matter is that the members of the society should always remember that the society is not like a free hotel. All the members should be careful to execute their spiritual duties, that whoever comes will automatically become a devotee, be able to return back to God in this very life. In other words, I mean, I was just speaking to devotees in Boston. Some devotees came from Boston. They said there's many people living in the temple that don't go to any of the programs or anything like that. I mean, it's not that they're disabled. They just don't go. You know, if someone's disabled in hospice, I understand, you know, if you're on your deathbed, why you can't come to Mangalarti. It's understandable. But these people have been living for years there. And practically nobody sees them. They're living in the building. I said, why don't you just ask them to leave? You know, because Prabhupada didn't want that. He said, it's not a place for lazy, crazy people. And so many times we want to bring in crazy people too. But no, it's not a place for lazy or crazy people in the Krishna consciousness movement. And not only should the devotees who live in the temple be very strict in their sadhana. It's not only that they work hard, but they should be strict in their sadhana so that people on the outside will be able to take their association, become Krishna conscious, because people become Krishna conscious
by taking association. That's the first point. Adoshratata sadhu sangota. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, that in the process of Krishna consciousness, sadhu sangha is essential. In other words, associating with like-minded devotees. And of course, we associate with Prabhupada through his books, but associating with people who are physically embodied is extremely important. And as we mentioned many times before, let's see, in the pastimes of Bharat Maharaj, had he had association with other Vaishnavas, what happened wouldn't have happened. He would have been saved 2 more births, because the Vaishnavas would have told him, you know, don't be kissing this deer while you're saying your Gayatri mantra. You know, that don't do it. But when you stay, like Prabhupada said, a stick by itself could be broken, many sticks together can't be broken. So we should remember this. Prabhupada was very, very, very strong on that point. So those who are in the temple, of course, they should be very strict in setting the best of examples, because they represent the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. They should have spiritual potency so that they can get people to be Krishna conscious. And the second point is that those who come to the temple who are, let's say, been devotees or initiated devotees should also come with a service attitude. You know, free hotel doesn't mean just for sleeping, but if someone comes just for eating to the temple, that's the same attitude. If you come just on Sunday to eat, and you don't, you know, you should want to serve. You know, either serve prasadam, talk to the guests. I remember when I first joined the movement, we weren't allowed to just sit down and eat when the guests came on Sunday. We had to sit with the guests, or we could eat, but we could sit next to them. You know, not that all the devotees would sit together, the brahmacharis would talk about their brahmachari katha, whatever that is. But the brahmacharis had to be, we were divided, either you were serving, isn't that perfect? Yeah. Either you were serving or you were preaching. One of the two. That's it. And you weren't worried about what you could eat. I mean, there were plenty of leftovers later on. I would go around to all the guest plates and pick out their globjamins and eat them all. Because prasadam is never contaminated. Gopakumar, he became upset when he was at a temple in South India, because the Brahmins wouldn't eat food when it was touched by someone else. So, anyway, so it was like that. You know, all the devotees were part of the preaching mission. It's not that we came for social life on Sunday. It was like, let's help people come. It's a responsibility. When you're initiated and, you know, you've taken up Krishna consciousness, you have a responsibility to help others become Krishna conscious. So that's also under that jurisdiction of ISKCON. Members of the society should always remember the society is not like a free hotel, because hotels are made for eating and sleeping. So these are 2 points. So I made the 3 points here. Any questions or comments we have about? Yes.
One thing I was thinking about was that, you know, when he became a deer, he went and he took shelter of another ashram where the sages were. And then it seems that, you know, those sages, you know, saw a deer come, but they didn't follow the same path. Oh, here's this poor little deer that's come to our ashram.
Yes. He went to the same ashram he was in before, actually, it's described here. And somehow or other they tolerated all the deer droppings. There was a play put on in Mayapur. I don't know if you saw the play. It was very funny. But the deer came to the ashram and he was making droppings all over the place. And the guru said, what are all these peanuts all over here? I had that on my computer. It was done by Bhakti Margbara at the play. I don't know if anyone's seen the play.
I'd like to see
it. It was really funny. It was the same guru, and Prithu Prabhu was playing the part of the guru, and it was a real funny guru, he says. Anyone see that?
No,
yeah, it was really funny.